And welcome to The Boldness on 3CR 8:55 AM on Wednesday, the 30th of October. The Boldness is about standing up for your disability rights instead of waiting for some well-meaning person to give them to you. I am your host today. My name is Rafael Caleb. Over the past few years, there's been a huge rise in the cost of living. Things are actually getting very difficult for a lot of people, especially for people on lower incomes, which is generally people with a disability. However, there are all kinds of assistance out there. Today, I am talking with Adrian Panizzo, who's one of the directors of Better Life Communications, which is a social enterprise. Welcome to The Boldness, Adrian.
Afternoon, Raf, and thanks for having us on your show.
You're very, very, very welcome. Now, a little bit of self-disclosure comes into it. I actually heard of Better Life Communications in 2012, I think it was, or a little bit before then. But what actually is Better Life Communications, Better Life Mobiles, Adrian?
Well, we actually started, so 2012, Raf, that would have made you one of our first customers, I reckon. Back in 2012, my fellow founder, Russell Barnes, and I, we were engaged in volunteering and supporting people who were experiencing homelessness in around Melbourne. And we saw that the powerful change that having access to a phone back then to someone who was either sleeping rough or not knowing what was going to lie ahead in the day coming up. So whilst the phone was going to be a powerful tool, the lived experience of these people was just going to be another barrier. It was another form of disadvantage. Through a process of just conversations, I suppose, Raf, we were told by this community of what would help them stay connected. And not surprisingly, all they said was things like, we just want to be charged a fair price. We just don't, we don't want to be ripped off. We don't want to be made to sign up contracts that we don't understand. And we want to just be given a product that meets our needs. And there was a lot of stigma around homelessness and people being seen as customers, not just of mobile phone companies, but you know, almost any good or service. If you present as someone who's homeless, there's a lot of stigma. So the initial idea was to speak to the homeless community and they told us what they needed and we took it from there.
Yep, and at the time, for the first decade of 2000, I was working in community services. I do have a disability and I was actually in touch with a number of organisations. I happened to see a number of flyers, brochures at the neighbourhood houses,
yep,
and a few number of financial counsellors, which meant that I was actually fairly informed about what was in the community, such as the need for a mobile and what actually might be available. So talking this one a little bit through, that's on how Better Life Mobile started. It was to actually provide a service that was affordable for people that were vulnerable in the community and to actually help them stay connected.
Yeah, spot on, Raf. And that connection, you know, pre the digital age, you talked about, you know, community services and neighbourhood houses and outreach programs. They were very tactile. They were face-to-face or, you know, putting up posters. But by the early 2000s, we were already sending, for example, group SMSs out to people in the community to stay connected, to let them know where things were on or give them information. So even before the smartphone, Raf, a basic phone, we saw that as being a really important item for someone to have. It wasn't a luxury. And if you fast forward to today, if someone was in vulnerable circumstances, a affordable, safe and secure mobile connection is an essential item. It's almost as important as electricity, power, water, you know, somewhere to stay. So to, you know, advocate for people who didn't have voice or agency, who as consumers were constantly being tricked by mobile phone companies, because the phone companies, as we learned early on, they have this acronym called, you know, average revenue per user or maximum revenue per user. And when Russell and I were starting, you know, we had probably had a couple of hundred people connected, Raf, and we were being told, you know, oh, you seem to have this trust with this community and, you know, now's the time you make money off people. You know, once you build trust with a consumer, that's when you can really, you know, look at ways to charge them and sell them things. And we're sitting in this meeting, Raph, and saying, you don't understand. There is no more money. You know, these people are trying to prioritise whether they eat, whether they catch public transport, whether they can buy a new pair of shoes. And you're sitting there saying, oh, how can we get more money out of these people? So it was a real constant struggle for these people to be treated with what we called fairness, you know, civility and dignity. You know, when they were invisible, they didn't want to know them. When they saw that they were people who were proud and would pay, all of a sudden it was like, hello, we didn't know that this little pot of gold existed. And, yeah, some of those conversations were really quite challenging.
Fast forward now, we're now in 2024, almost 2025. Yes.
Yeah.
It really comes down to a value-based system. And again, I remember a number of people have said to me, a mobile phone is essentially a luxury item. Now, there's two points I'm going to make. The first one is with mobile phones, with what is actually happening today, even with basic phones, if the person does not have access to a phone, they cannot actually connect to anything because people cannot either stay in touch or have a two-factor way to log into something like a MyGov account.
Yep.
They cannot go through and do Medicare, or it's very, very, very difficult to. Yep. If they would like to go onto social media to look for work, the two-factor factor comes in, and usually it's a code to a mobile. That means a phone or having an affordable service. If they didn't have that, they are further marginalised in the community. That's the first point. But I really, really actually get where you're coming from with this, and I appreciate Better Life Communications coming on board. And the second point that comes to mind when it comes down to homelessness, and it's a practical life school. I did work in community services. One of the first things we will try to assist people to do to make sure that they actually had 5 contacts listed under in case of emergency, which was a starting point. It might be an organisation, let's say Community Housing X. It might be the organisation, let's say, I don't want to name any particular organisation, but with homelessness, there's a couple of them about. They might be linked into a dropping centre somewhere where they might be able to actually get a meal and actually have a little bit of socialisation. It might be those sort of numbers people had where people actually knew where they were, particularly if they were estranged from their families. And again, that comes down to making sure people have an access to an affordable phone plan somewhere, which was in very, very straightforward language.
Yeah. And look, a lot of our documentation is what is produced in what we call easy English, Raph. So, you know, there's no tricks. You know, for Russell and I, we've never worked in telco. This is the only business that we've ever worked in within the telecommunications industry. And at the core of all our decision making was, as a consumer, or if I was a customer, how would I want to be treated? Now, I know it sounds cliche, Raph, but that's what drives our decision making. So you talk about 2024. There's a lot of annual sort of audits and surveys done, but there's still millions of people each year. And, you know, the cohorts that we're talking about are people living with disability. We're talking about people who are on low incomes, regional remote communities, unemployed, you know, survivors of domestic violence. All those communities are overrepresented in what we call the digital divide. They don't actually have access to secure online internet. Now, if you're a young person who's going to school, you need the internet. So not only are these people living and experiencing socioeconomic barriers around maybe not having enough food to eat, maybe not having, you know, good quality clothes to wear, there's also the stigma of not being able to log on to do your homework, not being able to join a sporting club. So the fact that this internet is an amazing thing, for a lot of people, it is just another in-your-face representation of exclusion. That's why we strongly advocate that for people who who have these barriers, what is the industry doing to support and engage them? I've mentioned before, the industry started to understand that people on low incomes could be customers. Raf, how's this one? We remember chatting to a company that we were sourcing our mobile plans from, and they said, "Why you want to these people as customers? Like, what if they ring? What if they actually ring your call center? You know?" And we said, "What do you mean?" They said, "Oh, well, I wouldn't really want our staff having these sort of people ring our call center." And like, that just blows you away, you know, that people would have this misrepresentation of these people. So, you know, we haven't achieved the systems change that we're after, but we feel after 10 years that through the network of community organisations, financial counsellors, that those people on the front line, Raf, who are doing all the really important work, we just feel like we're a small part of that community that, you know, can help probably make life a little bit easier for people.
Look, and I'm taking all of those things on board. Some of these stories which you're actually talking about here, like another one of the people that are marginalised or the digital divide, are young people, but also people that have come across Australia to make a better life in Australia, and they can't actually afford the devices, where educational schools quite often have, they want people to use a specific device.
Yep.
And it actually separates people even further, because the devices they get, they might actually have a contract and say this is the best way to do it, but there isn't a way in place to actually make some of those devices affordable, which creates a further device and the inbuilt cycle of staying around poverty. It becomes harder to find a way to have a hand up rather than a handout.
Yep.
And what's actually happened with Better Life Mobile, they've been nominated and they've been won a number of awards. Would you like to tell us about that, Adrian?
Yeah, look, and I mentioned before that Russell and I aren't from the telecommunications industry. So not saying that we're outsiders. It's just a lot of the time we had to honestly, even in meetings, say, look, we don't understand the acronyms. We don't understand the language of this industry. Can you please explain? And with some of these awards, so we won a couple of Finder awards, which are comparison site awards. They're industry awards. We won the peak body ACAN for consumers. We won the People's Champion Award for consumers. And I remember ACAN saying, you know, Better Life Mobile, they're a phone company, but they're really doing the advocacy for the consumer that companies don't normally do. So we were quite proud to get that recommendation. But with the price comparison sites, Raf, often I remember sitting when we were receiving one of these awards, and I was sitting next to someone from the financial services industry. They were from a bank. And the guy said to me, "Oh, are you up for an award tonight?" I said, "Oh, look, yeah, we've been nominated, but I don't think we'll win." And he said to me, "Oh, how much do you spend on advertising with the website?" I said, We don't spend anything." He said, "Oh, well, you won't win." And I said, "Well, that's okay. We didn't nominate ourselves. We just got invited, and we ended up winning, Raf." And the guy, when we came and sat back down, he says, no one wins these awards without being, you know, a sponsor." And we said, "Well, look, that's not how we roll. You know, we don't have the money to sponsor these things. We prefer to spend the money on donating services or providing more support." And then another award, which was a global award, We received this email to say, "Look, you've been shortlisted for this global award," and we just thought it was a scam, Raf. We just thought it was a spam thing, so we ignored it. And then they sent another email. You know, we really like you to consider being part of the shortlist. And we went to Telstra, who were our wholesale partner, and we said to Telstra, "Look, we've been getting these emails about this award. Is this legit? Because it just looks like a scam." And I said, no, that's the MVNO World Congress. That's real." So I said, "Oh, look, we didn't know. We just thought someone was going to try and, you know, say, if you want this award, pay us 2,000 euro or something." Anyway, we got shortlisted. We were one of six companies internationally. There was mobile companies from the UK, from Europe, from North America. and we won. Like they, when we explain our story and say, look, we're, our primary goal is to not make the most money per user, but it's to make the least money per user and stay in business. That's our goal. And people sort of are shocked at that, or they're shocked that we would, our call center staff, Raf, we say our staff can have untimed, unscripted calls. Obviously, we need to be compliant. The industry is very regulated. But, you know, if one of our team, Jan or Judy or Lisa, if they just want to have a social conversation with a customer who's a bit lonely, or, you know, we've dealt with their issue and we're familiar with them and they want to give us an update on their life, you know, within boundaries, we talk about untimed, unscripted. And that does the industry's head in, because they go, but how's that economic? Like, how do, and it's like, well, we answer the phone within 60 seconds. So whatever model is working out there somewhere else where there's pressure, okay, to get them off the phone. So, you know, we'll be at conferences and they'll go, oh, what's your handling time? Like, you know, how quick do you try and get your customers off? And it's like, we don't worry about handling time. We worry about response time. We want to answer the phone quick. And then if it's a 5, 10, 20-minute call, doesn't matter. So the number of times, Raf, we've been told that's not how you do it, or how are you guys still in business, or no, that's the wrong way, I could count. It's just endless. But as I said, we're not from the industry, and we just back ourselves in that, you know, our customers will tell us what they like and what they need.
Well, Adrian, at this point, it's probably time for us to play some community service announcements, including the financial supporter, the program sponsor of the Boldness, which is Clubmates Travel. We'll be continue talking with Adrian Panizzo, who is one of the directors from Better Life Communications, straight after these community service announcements. Welcome back to the Boldness on 3CR 855 AM. We're talking with Adrian Panizzo, who is one of the directors of Better Life Communications. And the reason this is a really important conversation to have in public is with the cost of living really going up and affecting everyone, that Better Life Communications is a social enterprise company in mobile phones. Now, Adrian, just before we played the community service announcements, you mentioned that one of the goals of Better Life Communications was to make the least amount of money possible. So when it comes down to phone plans, how much are we actually really looking at? Would you like to talk us through a couple of the types of plans that are available?
Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, when we started 10 years ago, I think back then the cheapest plan might have been $30-odd for not much data. And then the industry's over time has become more efficient. So you can get an annual plan for $119 with, that's mainly calls and SMS, a little bit of data. And then from $20, you can get 5 gigabytes. So look, we really try and work with our customers to make sure that we call it digital savvy, like know how to set up your phone so it uses the least amount of data. Things that people can catch people out is, you know, it might do a software update on their phone when it's not in range of Wi-Fi, to have their mobile data defaulted to Wi-Fi if it's around, to if people want to stream, and that's fine, just to think about what quality and level of streaming that they're using, whether it's sound or picture. So, you know, in terms of people's usage, and we won an award for this, and we couldn't believe it, because we sort of said, well, we're getting an award for being honest. When we get a better price, we move all the customers that can that are eligible for that price on that plan to that cheaper plan. You've probably heard stories, Raf, that ring your bank and ask for a better interest rate, or you know, ring your energy provider and see if there's a better plan. Why should the customer need to do that? Like it's not, they're the customer, you know. So you know, we proactively. I remember on one occasion we moved thousands of customers to a cheaper price. You know, we sent a note out and said, hey, your plan's changing soon. You're going to get the same amount of data. Nothing's going to change. We've just got a better deal. Bang, move them. You know, why should this be this hide and seek relationship that if, you know, the customer isn't confident enough or doesn't think to ask, that they will just be left on these old deals? And the other thing that we really value is CenterPay. Like, a lot of companies, they won't offer CenterPay either because there's a charge to process CenterPay that you can't charge, move on to the customer. And again, I remember being in a meeting going, oh, and this guy said, oh, mate, oh, no, we don't like CenterPay. Like, costs us $2 a month. We can't pass it on to the customer. We have to wear the cost. And it's like, mate, it's not all about you. You know, if someone's on CenterPay, they don't have a lot of money. If the CenterPay system and rhythm and budgeting works for them and fortnightly payments work for them, why wouldn't you meet them there? You know, so yeah, there's a lot of small things that we like to do to support our customers around their data usage. Like, sometimes people, they'll think they use more data than they need. So they'll go, oh, look, I think I need to be at least on your $32 plan. And we'll look at their usage and go, no, I don't think you're banking your data, you know, and even saving $5 a month, Raph, like it matters to us. If we can save someone a few dollars, better in their pocket than ours. So that's the mindset that we empower our customer service staff to have, is if you can see something where the customer can be better off, offer it and initiate that conversation.
Look, and I'm very, very glad that we've actually had this conversation, Adrian, and we are fast running out of time. So it's been great talking with you, Adrian, about having a person-centred human interest phone service that is available for people with a disability. Now, what's the best way for people to get in contact with Better Life Communications?
Yeah, look, we're a bit old school, so we still have a mobile number that we're based in Melbourne, Victoria, in Australia. You're probably global, Raph, with the way radio works now. You're probably people listening. So, but 03-9018-5349. So that's 03-9018-5349. You know, we love talking to people. We're a phone company. Or people can find out information through our website. So it's www.betterlifemobile.com.au. So as it sounds, www.betterlifemobile.com.au. The other thing is we have our SIMs out in hundreds of community organisations across Australia. So financial counsellors or any of the big charities that people might know of, they can probably find out about us there. But look, thanks for your support, mate. And thanks for your interest in having the conversation today.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Adrian. We wish Better Life Communications all the best in the future. And
I would like to thank Adrian Pananzo, one of the directors of Better Life Communications, for joining me on The Boldness today. Deeply appreciate Better Life Communications' efforts trying to make having a mobile phone a lot more equitable for absolutely everyone, especially people with a disability. The Boldness will be back on the 20th of November, which is Wednesday at 6 p.m. There's also the International Day of Disability broadcast on 3CR on the 3rd of December. 3CR dedicates a whole day of disability broadcasting, talking all things disability for 12 hours. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. And a very quick reminder to all those people out there in radio land listening to 3CR 8:55 a.m. that The Boldness is looking for a volunteer co-host of The Boldness. Please contact Inez Tulloch from 3CR to find out more about this opportunity. I found from my experience of The Boldness, it's a great way to connect with others. It's a great way to connect to people with disability, and it's a huge way to actually make a difference in the community. Thank you very much for listening to 3CR 8:55 a.m. on Wednesday, the 30th of October. Let's finish up with a song called Shed My Skin by Fallopia. Keep listening to 3CR.